I am so excited to be here. My husband and I have never been on the coastal side of Florida before. Beautiful. We just drove up the one today and just, I had a blast. It's beautiful country. Love it here. I am excited to share with you tonight. I'm not going to share with you anything you probably haven't heard before. As we were putting these lessons together, this was all Wayne's idea. He's the one that thought this was a good idea for us to do a marriage seminar. And I kind of looked at him like, you and me? Talk about marriage? And I was a little hesitant, and he goes, yeah, you do these ladies' days and stuff, so you can do some breakout sessions. This is going to be great. And I'm like, okay, what should I say? I said, if I do these breakout sessions, what do you want me to talk about? And he went, okay, the first one you should do, I think you should do the role of a godly wife. And I actually gave him an eye roll, brother. And I thought, oh, you kidding me? As women, we get that all the time. We get it all the time. All of our ladies' books are on the role of a godly wife, and ladies' classes, and ladies' retreats. And I had an attitude problem about the whole thing. And I said, okay, I'm gonna have to pray about this. Let me step back and pray about it a little bit. And I did, and when I did, I realized, as I'm looking at marriage and we were building this material, and I'm going to look at what am I going to say to the women, I decided maybe we do need to talk about what does the role of a godly wife look like. Because in our marriages, those promises that we made on that day that we stood before whoever we stood before and made those promises to, our husband, we actually, on that day, I made those promises to Wayne, but I made those promises to the Lord. That's who I made those promises to, which actually helps me on the days that I kind of want to shove Wayne out of the car. Boom. Because it's like, okay, wait, no, can't do that today because I promised God that I would follow these promises that I have made to him. So it helps me. So I started thinking, okay, I'll make this list. I'll look at this list and see what I can share with you. So as I share, like I said, I probably won't share something you've never heard. You're just going to get it through my filter, and that can be interesting. So that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. Now, I got married in 1981. I didn't feel that long ago to me until somebody talks about, you've been married over 40 years? And I'm like, whoa, yeah, that's a long time ago. But I got married in 1981, so the phrases that I'm going to share with you come from the 80s. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Now I'll explain it as we go along. But the first one I'm going to talk about, maybe I should share some more right there. Got married in 1981. Wayne and I got married, and we got married on a Friday night in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And on Saturday, we got in a Ryder truck and headed to Denver. Wayne had asked me after we'd gotten engaged, hey, if I got a job in Denver, would you be willing to move to Denver and not live in Oklahoma? And I'm like, sure, if you can make enough money where I can stay home and with babies, yeah, I will do that. And so he did. He got that job. So married Friday night, Saturday we get in that Ryder truck, head towards Denver. We hit his parents' house on Sunday afternoon, spent that first week with his parents, and then, so here we are in Denver. And about 6 weeks later, I kind of woke up one morning and started looking around, and it was like, where is my mom? I have some questions about this. You know, I was struggling. I got married and moved halfway across the world, it felt like, and I was struggling. So I started going to ladies' Bible class. I started going to ladies' Bible class, and sure enough, they were studying the role of godly wife, but that was perfect for me. Perfect for me as a young wife. But I found an older woman in the congregation. As we would go through these studies, I would reach out to this older woman, and I told her, I said, I can read in Scripture what that says. I can read what God is saying to me. I don't know what that looks like. I'm struggling with what does that look like. So this wonderful woman, it was Mary Ann Ramsey. I know Emily up here. It was Mary Ann Ramsey. And anyway, she was that woman for me. She was just this feisty, ornery woman. but she was so godly. She was so godly. So we would study these topics, and then I'd go to her, and she'd be my practical person to help me with them. And so the first one is, we looked at the topic of a godly wife is a helpmeet. A helpmeet is the word that is used. And we take that from Genesis, where God creates Adam, and he parades all of the animals in front of Adam, and Adam's looking at them and naming them and all these things, and God says, you know what? I need to create a helper suitable for him. That is what a helpmeet is. You are a helper suitable for Adam. This Eve was a helper suitable for Adam. Well, as I'm looking at that, and I'm talking with Mary Ann, and she says, yeah, you're going to be this. You're a helper suitable for him. And I went, you don't know who we are. You don't know who Wayne and I are. And I told her about moving into our first apartment. Move into our first apartment, and I walk by Wayne's little desk. And by the way, Wayne and I dated for 4 months. I married a stranger. That's what happened in my life. So he's setting up his desk, and he's got all the things in the desk drawers and all these little cubbies for everything had a place. It was all these little things separating everything in his desk. And I remember walking by and thinking, that's who he is. Okay, that's who he is. So I got into the bedroom, and I went over, and I thought, okay, I'll put away my socks and underwear. And I opened the dresser drawer, and I got my box of socks and underwear, and I was putting my socks and underwear away. And Wayne walks in, he goes, what are you doing? And I went, I'm putting away my socks and underwear. And he looked in the drawer, and he went, you gonna fold those? And I'm like, huh? No, who folds socks and underwear? You dive in, get what you need, get out. That's what you do. And he went, oh. And I could see his skin crawling. And he was like, I think most people fold socks and underwear. So even still to this day, every time we move, he's got a picture of his drawer, and I got a picture of my rat's nest over here. So two different people. So I'm explaining this to Mary Ann going, our worlds, I am not a helper suitable for this guy. I'm afraid he's in trouble. I think he's going to be in trouble here. And she goes, no, stop, step back. God created Adam. He paraded those animals by, and he created a helper suitable, which was a female. And she goes, Tammy, you're a female. You have that. You've got that. And I went, okay, pretty much. I'm pretty much, I have to admit, all of the marriage books that I have ever read are the his needs, her needs, and Mars and Venus and whatever else. I am always the guy. I always am. And as a young woman, you're reading those books going, oh no, what is wrong with me? And I thought maybe I wasn't nailing the Christian wife walk because I was always the guy. So Mary Ann said, no, you are female. You have been created as a female. So relax, you are a helper suitable for Wayne because you are a female. Now, as you come together in your marriage, you figure out how your personalities balance each other, what your strengths are and what his strengths are, and how you balance each other out. And on our marriage journey, that changes all the time. Changes all the time. We go through different phases of life, and I bubble up in ways that I didn't before. Wayne took care of so much in the early years just because I was doing a lot with the kids. I was doing a lot with the children. And then once the kids moved out of the house, it kind of balanced out. I took over some roles that I wasn't doing before because I had more time on my hands. So you are a balance for your husband. That's what that means, a helper suitable. And I actually love the Hebrew. I don't want to skip over this part. The Hebrew is this easer. You are the easer. It's part of that word Ebenezer, easer. You are the easer for your husband. You give him strength. It's that helper suitable. You're going to be his strength. And I love this because without you, he's weak. Without you, he is weak. He needs you to be that helper suitable, that balance for him. That's, I love that. I get goosebumps at that. But we are a helpmeet. And then the second part of our role as a godly wife is we are submissive. Now, I remember going to ladies' class at this point, and they gave this definition of submission. It is to put yourself under, or to be obedient to put yourself under the authority of. And I started, oh, yikes, because I am one of those people. At birth, I kind of slid out of the womb and looked back up at my mom and dad and went, let's get this straight from the beginning. You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. And I admit, even to this day, when I feel like someone's putting their authority off on me, I start getting a little crawly. And I've fought it my whole life. I have a very strong, independent, rebellious spirit. It's a curse. It is a curse. So we were looking at this submission, and I'm like, ah, that's a lot. In fact, I think it is a lot for some of us. That's why Titus 2 says older women teach the younger women to be submissive, because it doesn't come natural to some of us. It doesn't come natural. So understanding what that is, I can go to scripture, I can show you verse after verse about a submissive wife, but I want to take you to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at this some more tomorrow. This is beautiful, beautiful passage right here, because it's Jesus and the church is being described, but they're using a husband and wife relationship. Again, we'll talk about it more tomorrow. But I want to read to you right now. Let's look at verses 22 through 24. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought, and that word ought means must or moral obligation, be to their husbands in everything. So I look at this, but I think so often we take these verses out and we put them on a refrigerator magnet and we put those on the women like we are the only ones to be submissive. And if you look there at verse 21, it says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There is a deeper role to our submission as we look at this. The husband is the head. There is a deeper submission that we are giving our husband there. It's a gift we give to him because we're trying to be like Jesus. But when you think about submission, when you think about us trying to walk with the Lord, striving every day to be more and more like Jesus, that means I'm going to be working to lay myself aside like Jesus did. I'm going to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2, where it says I'm going to regard others as more important than myself. That's submission. And when I'm going to do that for a friend, if I was going to do that for Misty, I'm going to work to put Misty before me. We understand that. We understand that. But when it comes to applying it into our marriage, we've let the world take that beautiful gift we're going to give our husband and make it sound ugly and weak and dirty. And that's not what it is. It is beautiful. Submission looks like Jesus. That's what submission looks like. It's all about laying myself aside for the person I love the most on the planet, for my husband. Why is that so difficult? And it's difficult for me because that's so against my personality, and I've had to work on it. And I'm better. I'm so much better than I was as a young woman. But I understand now what a gift it is that I can give to my husband, because I want to be like Jesus. That's who I want to be like. I want to be glorifying Jesus. Now, as I share these things, I had a young woman in a seminar one time. She was sitting down front, and she had her arms crossed, and she hated my guts for the whole thing. And she was so vocal. And every time I'd list one of these, she'd go, well, when he does something for me, I'll do something for him. I mean, over and over and loud and disruptive, and I finally had to stop what I was doing and pray for her. And I was very sweet about it. I wasn't hateful to her. And I told Wayne after this session, I said, well, I'm sure that couple is going to leave. That was the weirdest thing ever. And at the end of the seminar, she came up and hugged me because she said, I've never had anybody ask me to step back and be like Jesus. The world tells us that we will be these things if this person does those things for me. And that's not Christianity. That's not what this is about. I'm going to bring God glory no matter how he behaves. And that can be really, really hard. I get that. But I still, for myself, have got to wrap my heart around the fact I want to be who I'm supposed to be to bring God glory. It's not about me. The world tells you it's all about you, but that's not Christianity. It's not all about you. It's bringing God glory. So understanding this submission, that's what Christianity is all about. And then the next role, part of a role of a godly wife, is found in Ephesians chapter 5, the end of that chapter there, verse 33. It says, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respect her husband. Now, I've put several things under this umbrella of respect, and the first one is when we're going to respect our husband, and respect means we're going to lift him up. We're going to honor him. We're going to show him honor. That's what respect. It's a huge thing in the world today, as long as you're getting it. As long as you're being respected. And we need to remember our respect actually goes out and not in. We should be outward focused. But as we are respecting our husbands, the first thing is be careful how you talk about your husband. We were talking about this a minute ago, and I said, you should teach this because this is exactly what I'm going to say. We have to be careful how we talk about our husbands. I can remember as a young wife, after ladies' class, all of these women would go out to lunch. Well, I had 5 kids, and I did daycare in my home as well. So going out to lunch, I couldn't afford to in the first place. And on top of that, it wasn't fun. If you have small children and try to go out to eat, you know, sometimes it's like, this is awful. Why did we even think about that? You know, so I started saying, why don't you bring your lunch and come to my house? Pick up something, come to my house. That way we can spend the time together. And we started doing that. Well, one of those Wednesday afternoons, we were having lunch together, and I would always try to include older women because I needed them in my life. And this day, I actually had included Marianne. And we're sitting around talking, and we weren't being hateful. We weren't being malicious. We didn't mean anything ugly by it, but we were talking about our life. Just talking about life. And it was things like, well, my husband, he doesn't even know there's a washing machine at home. He thinks the laundry just appears miraculously clean in his drawer, you know, that kind of thing. Or my husband, he's never put the cap back on the toothpaste. What is that deal? What's up with that? You know, and we're laughing hard. I mean, we're just laughing and talking about life. Girls all leave, and Marianne would hang around and help me put the kids down for a nap. And so Marianne's there, and we're puttering around the kitchen. The kids are down for a nap. She goes, hey, Tammy, today, when the girls left, do you think they thought more highly of Wayne, or do you think they thought less of him? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, okay, you know, the things you shared about Wayne, the things about Wayne around the house, do you think that when they left today, they thought more highly of him, or do you think they thought less of him? And I went, ooh. And she goes, I understand, I've done it too, but she goes, we've been talking about showing respect to your husband. She goes, how do you think you painted him? And I actually think I painted him like I had a dog for a while. And one day my dog went outside into the backyard and the snow had melted and the yard was gross. And he came in and he threw something at my feet. He spit this fur ball at my feet. And I went and got a broom because I didn't know if the fur ball was still alive or not. So I'm poking the fur ball and I flipped it over and it was one of my old house slippers, one of my old bedroom slippers. And I'm like, oh, that's where that thing went. But I also thought, okay, how many times do I take Wayne, my favorite person, drag him through the dirt, bury him in the mud, and spit him at the feet of others with my words? How often do I do that with him? So be careful how you talk about your husband. In fact, a few weeks later, we were doing lunch again, doing the same thing. All of a sudden, it starts up, and it hit me. Ooh, we're doing it again. And I went, oh, hey, you know, last night, Wayne cooked for me like you couldn't believe, because my husband can outcook most grandmas. He is amazing. But I threw that out there, and I promise you, the faces in the room were like, well, my husband mowed like he's never mowed before. You know? All of a sudden, we're like one-upping each other on how good our husbands were. But it makes a difference. Be careful how you talk about your husband. Start planting those positive things in your mind. Those are the things that will come out of your mouth. Plant those things in your head. Don't focus on the negative. You don't want him focusing on your negative. But make sure you be careful how you talk about him. Also be careful how you talk to him. Oh man, there was a lady that would stand in the foyer and she would yell at her husband. I told you to go get the car. Man wouldn't know how to dress himself if I didn't help him. And I'm like, oh, please God, don't let that be me. Please. I'm like, I always felt so sorry for him being married to her. Be careful how you talk to your husband. Just be careful. Be careful of showing him respect. Make sure, and I understand it's tough when they behave like infants, but you have to behave the way you're supposed to behave. Will you make mistakes? Of course you will. We all do. We all do. But it's trying to have that mindset of showing him respect and lifting him up. And then under that proverb or whatever they call it, that silence is golden. You know, they always say, oh, silence is golden. Well, silence is only golden if you're not angry, if you don't have a mat on. If you're one of those that clamp down and don't speak when you're angry, that is not me. Wayne and I are both extremely vocal. I'm surprised we had friends when we were first married because it was, oh, stop it, get away from me. We fought over everything. We're so much better now, so much better. But we are both very vocal. We don't hold things in. That's not good for you. We've learned to control that. But anyway, if you get a good man on and don't speak, be very careful of that. Went to church one Wednesday night and saw this guy, and I went, hey, they said your wife was sick Sunday. Is she better? And he goes, I don't know. And I went, what do you mean you don't know? And he goes, she's got a mat on. She hadn't talked to me in 3 days. And my first thought was, what'd you do? That's what I'm thinking. And he goes, man, everything is, no, there. And I had to kind of step back and think, ooh, do I do that? And I remembered that but I do know I've had to communicate with my husband and let him know that I put it out there. But Wayne is a preacher, has been since he was born. And so every argument is like a debate class. And it makes me feel like he's poking me in the chest. And I finally had to go, no, I'm going to spit it out. Then I have to step away because the sword has been sharpened. And I know that if I don't step away, I will rip you to shreds. And I've learned that. I have to step back. And he's learned, I'm not meaning to be disrespectful. I'm trying to show him respect by not continuing in that argument. But I had to communicate that because there were times in the beginning where it looked like I was walking away from him in the middle of an argument. That's disrespectful too. But figuring it all out, communicating, make sure you're showing him respect in those situations. And those can be tricky. And then in that umbrella of respect, also, we need to learn to listen to our husbands. You know, we hear all the time that as women, we have whatever, hundreds of words we need to share at the end of the day. And we forget sometimes that if our husbands have something to share, especially if it's something that is on their heart, something that's weighing on them, something that's heavy, maybe something happened at work that day or whatever that's really weighing on them, they're going to come in and they're going to want to share with you because you're the only one usually they're going to share those things with. As women, we'll call our mom or a sister or a friend. If our husband doesn't seem to be listening to us, we'll find somebody that will. But our men don't behave that way, usually. There are exceptions. But most of the time, they don't behave that way. It's you. So you're going to have to learn to be a better listener. And for me, we are both talkers. We are both talkers, and Wayne talks a lot. And I have to, he'll be talking, and he'll throw in a question, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he goes, you weren't really listening. I'm like, oh, I wasn't. And I have to learn to plug back in because he is a talker. And so I've had to relearn how to listen and make sure I'm paying attention and being respectful in that. And then I've put this also in this umbrella, and I don't know if it goes here, but it goes here in this class. Work to include your husband in your life. This is huge. I watch married couples fall apart because they have built two separate lives. The husband has his friends, his schedule, his calendar. He does his thing, and the wife is over here doing her friends, her calendar, her thing, and they don't ever compare. They don't ever talk. Make sure you're including him. We had friends that we did some things with for a while that I would have to call the woman, and Wayne would have to call the man if we wanted to go to dinner on Friday night. And I promise, I remember times where one of them would show up and ask, hey, is my husband coming? I'm like, I don't know. Do you people never talk? But it's how they lived their life. It was crazy to me. It was crazy to me, and it was a struggle for them, and they are different now. But make sure you're including him. Like, my husband is a controller, always has been. He's old school. He is a controller. And I actually have thanked God for that because I am such a strong woman. And so he is a controller, so I let him think he's in control most of the time. But when we first married, before I could drive, my dad made me, I had to change the tire, I had to be able to do all of the things on a car before I could drive my own car. So I get married, I go out one day, I have a flat, I stop, I change the flat, I go about my day, I get home, and Wayne comes home from work and says, how was your day? And I said, well, I had a flat, it wasn't any big deal. And he got upset with me. He said, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? I wanted to do that for you. I wanted to do that for you. I wanted to be that person in your life. I wanted to take care of you in that way. And I'm like, oh, brother, But I understood as a controller, he was wanting to take care of some of those things. He saw that as a man thing. And we're going to talk more about men tomorrow. We have a very positive viewpoint. We're going to talk about how things look for them. But understanding, for Wayne, that meant I was including him in my life. I was sharing with him. He also, if I would say, this is what I will be doing today, and if he would call after I'd been gone from the house, and I'd said, oh, I'll be home about 2, and he would call about 2:30, and I wasn't home, you young people don't understand. You had to have a phone at the house or at the 7-Eleven. That's where you got to stop and call. And so if my schedule would change, I'd have to stop and call Wayne and let him know, oh, I'm not going to be home till later. If you call, I'm not dead. I'm just running some more errands. I'll be back later. But I had to let him know because I respect him and I wanted to show him that. So there are several things that fall under that umbrella of respect, but making sure that we wrap our mind and wrap your mind around the positive parts of lifting your husband up, of showing him honor, doing those things for him. Because when you can wrap your mind, it wraps your heart, it flows out of your heart. So understanding that we are to respect our husband. And then the next part of being a godly wife is we are a lover. We are created to be that. I believe that we don't talk about sex. Wayne would be so upset if he knew I was using the word sex in the church building. We don't talk about that here. This is the place we should be talking about it. We've let the world take it away from us and make it dirty and smutty, and it's something so beautiful when it's where it belongs, in marriage. So understanding that part of our relationship should be a blessing to your marriage, and you need to communicate about it, and you need to make sure that you understand that in marriages, you're probably wired differently. And that doesn't mean one of you is wrong and the other one is right, and usually it's your right and what's wrong with him kind of thinking. Be careful of that. Make sure you build a healthy relationship where your sex life is concerned while you can. There may be things that come in your life that will take that away from you. Don't think less of it. I think it is a big deal. I think it bonds us together in a way that nothing else can, but it's not the biggest deal. It's not the biggest deal, but take care of it while you can. And then the next thing is, as a godly wife, we're going to be a friend. I love this. Song of Solomon 5:16 says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend." My husband is my best friend. And I am at a point in life now where people will talk about, "Oh, Tammy, would you like to go away for the weekend? There's going to be four of us girls. We're going to go." And I'm like, "Can Wayne go? He can cook." Yeah. It's just weird to me. Now, girl things are good too. That is refreshing for us. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you choose to go away with girlfriends every time and not with your husband, you might want to step back and examine that a little bit, see what's going on there. Your husband needs to be your best friend, and you need to work at it. We tend to think just because we're married, now we're friends, that we are friends. Or I hear girls all the time, "I married my best friend." I'm like, "Oh, really? What do you guys do together? What's your favorite thing to do together?" We watch TV. I'm like, "That's good. Yeah, that's good." But figuring that out, are you his friend? And you want to build that friendship the way you did when you dated. And it may have been that Saturday where he called you that morning and said, "Go do whatever you want to do. Go shopping, whatever you want to do with your friends today. I'm just going to stay home and watch college football. You go do your thing." And you went, "Oh, I love college football. Let me bring snacks." And you go over there and spend the day with him. You hate college football, but you like him. And so you build that friendship. Find things to do together. When we married, Wayne loves Broadway musicals, loves them. When I first married, I didn't get it at all. I'm like, "Why are they singing all the words? Just talk. This is so confusing to me." I just didn't get it. And then I went to my first Broadway musical, and I felt like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. I was sitting on the edge of thinking, "Oh, this is awesome. It was so cool." But it wasn't my thing. But I did it for him, and I love that now. Now, he'll listen to some Southern rock with me now instead of Barry Manilow all the time. So that's a good thing, too. We've built a friendship together. But make sure you're working on that, and you continually work on it. Then, as a godly wife, part of our role, here's the 1980s word, is you are a homemaker. You are a homemaker. That is the 1980s role. Word that they gave me. And actually, the description, I need to find this. I actually saw it float through Facebook a few years ago. It was out of a ladies' Bible class book, and this is how they described a godly wife. A godly wife, at the end of the day, will meet her husband at the door. She will have her hair fixed perfectly. She will have on her best pearls. She'll be wearing a good dress with high heels, because we know all men like high heels. And she'll be waiting there with the children on the couch, and they'll be all quiet and clean and dressed and ready to greet their father. But make them sit there until he's ready, because he's had a stressful day. And then have on the table a nice supper with a tablecloth and maybe candles, because he's really special to you. And you're going to do this for him. This is going to be wonderful. You know, and I'm looking at this, and I remember as a young woman hearing that and going, "I'm a failure." Wow. I can't do that. I can do it every now and then if I shove the kids over to somebody else's house, you know, I could do that. But I'm like, no, that's not right. And I do think that for years and years and generations, we were told that a good wife kept a magazine home spotless. Spotless, that's not real. That is so not real. And so when you look at this word, where they pull this from is the Titus 2, older women teach the younger women, and the New American Standard Version says to be the keeper of the home. To be the keeper of the home, what that actually is talking about is as the wife, your role is to guard the home, to guard the castle keep kind of thing. That's where that word keeper came sliding in there. You are going to guard the home. You want to make sure your home is a refuge for your family, a place of peace for your family. And so what that's going to take is you sitting down with your husband and going, what do we need to do here? What do we need to do here to make this someplace that we want to be at? What do we do to make this work for us? Because especially if you're both working outside of the house, maybe it's you plug in the crock pot before you leave. I'll get it all ready. You plug it in. At the end of the day, I come in first. I'll make the noodles while you do. And you balance it. You find a way to balance those things out so that your home is a place of peace for your family. Now, Wayne, his mom, when I married him, his mom ironed bed sheets. And I'm looking at Wayne going, you know that's not going to happen, right? We're good with that, right? Because I'm not going to iron a sheet that I'm going to go crunch up and lay on. I don't get that. And so, but I had to understand that neatness was a big thing for him. It was a big thing for him. And we had to talk about it quite a bit because we had babies from the beginning. And so we had to talk about it. And he knew when he came in, if there was a toy in the floor, he knew where they went, throw it in the corner. But we worked together to make sure our place was somewhere we wanted to be. So make sure you're talking about it. How can you make your home a refuge? How can you guard your home? And there's other ways you can guard your home. Don't let Satan come creeping in through your television either. Make sure you put that guard on your home. Protect your family. Make sure you're talking about your husband, because this is the role of a godly wife, making sure you're doing those things. And let me throw this in here. As older women, please be careful of doing this. It's easy for me to look at other people and go, your house should look like mine. I had 5 kids in daycare and my house was clean. Shame on me for being so judgmental. That is so wrong. So wrong. Be careful, older women, of being judgmental of somebody whose house doesn't look like yours. Young women, talk to your husbands. Everybody, talk to your husbands. Figure it out. Figure out what makes your home a place of refuge. I call the role of a godly wife from stilettos to orthopedic shoes. That's our journey. We start out in stilettos. It's like, whatever you want. I love you so much. Oh, everything is hot and wonderful. And then you go right in, if you choose to, or if you are blessed with children, I went right into running shoes. And that is an interesting part of your marriage. Children change your marriage. They just do. When I hear a young couple, here she'll be pregnant with their first child, and they're saying, this baby, we're not changing our life. This baby, I'm like, I don't have to say a word. Life is going to catch up with you. I don't have to say anything because it's coming. Children change your life. You can't say, I'm putting the baby in the basement for the weekend. It's just you and me, you know? It doesn't work that way. So you have to understand and make sure at that phase of life, this is a phase of life, and I see this in a lot of Christian homes where the mommy takes over and you forget that you're a wife. And those children, and I get it because they require your attention, but when that role takes place of your role as a wife, be very careful of that. You need to make sure you're talking to your husband through this. Make sure you're talking to him, because a lot of husbands get shoved over in the corner because mama knows best. Mama knows best, and they forget, well, this is a parent too. Now, I will say right here, Younger families are doing such a better job at this than my generation and older generations. My generation was the husband. He went out and made the money, and the wife did everything else. Or he tended the farm or whatever, but the wife did everything else. And I'm seeing a better balance in there. And you are blessed for that. You are blessed for that. But understanding that you need to make sure your husband still understands, man, I love you. I do love you more than these kids, but somebody's got to feed the baby, you know, kind of thing. Make sure you're talking to him. And then I went into a phase of my life where actually, I had watched older women hit this age, and I remember some of them saying, I've lost myself. I don't even know who I am anymore. I've got to find myself. And I can remember as a judgmental young woman going, what is wrong with you? Get a grip. You're right there. What is your problem? And then it happened to me. All of my children were gone and not dependent on me. In fact, they weren't even all gone from the house at this point. They just didn't need me every moment. And I struggled with who is Tammy. I know who Mom is, and I know who Miss Tammy is, but who is Tammy? And I really struggled. And I struggled with this, and I started working out. And a lot of women do. You have more time on your hands at this point. But I went to church one Sunday night. And I know I'm not big. I was blessed by a little bitty grandma. But anyway, I started working out, went to church one Sunday night. And the first guy walked by me, and he goes, I just wanted you to know I've noticed you look good. And I'm like, thanks. Second guy comes by and goes, hey, you look really good. And I'm like, thank you. Third guy came by and said, just wanted you to know, I've noticed you look really good. I'm like, and I said, Wayne, I've lost my balance in here. I have lost it. And I was dressed modestly, but my focus had become outer focused. Wasn't even health. It was, I was going to look as good as I could. It was a weird phase of life. And I had to communicate with Wayne and make sure I was talking with him. Make sure you talk with your husband if you ever feel midlife crisis, whatever you want to call it. It's real. It's real. It was real for me. And I had to communicate with Wayne, except for when I communicated with him, I said, I'm really struggling. I don't know who I am anymore. And he went, maybe you should get a hobby. And I went, I will poke your eyes out of your head. This is so much deeper than that. I just felt like he wasn't getting it. But make sure you're communicating. Then I went into the phase I'm in now. And I'm back in heels. They're not high. They're little pumps. But I'm back in heels. It's a wonderful phase of my marriage. Love it. Love it. Love it. We have fought like cats and dogs. We have hurt each other left and right. We have fought Satan for our marriage. And I love my husband. I love the time we get to spend together. We've not quit. We have gone through so much. My children are grown. I have a couple of them that have fallen away from the Lord, but I have a peace now because I know that God loves them more than I do. And I have a man to walk through this journey with me. I just love it. And I'm looking down the road to orthopedic shoes, and I know some of you young women are going, I think that's where you're at. It's right here. And I call it orthopedic shoes because my mom, when I was in, it was the 70s, so I was a teenager, and in the 70s, my mom started having shoe issues, feet issues, and she had to wear orthopedic shoes. Well, back in the day, they were big chunks of either white plastic or black plastic, probably leather. Awful. And I prayed, Lord, please don't do that to me. Then I was in a shoe shop here about 10 years ago, actually, in a shoe shop. And on the end of the rack, it said, like walking on a cloud or like walking on pillows or something. And I remember looking at the shoes and going, those are cute. I like those shoes. And I dropped one down on the floor and I put it on. It was like, oh, they're so bright. It's like walking on pillows. This is awesome. And the little girl that worked there came around the corner, little teenager, and I went, hey, look at these shoes. I said, look at these shoes. Do these look like old lady shoes? And she went, no, no. And I went, no, 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 really. Do they look like old lady shoes? And she goes, they're kind of cute. And I went, I don't care what you think. They were comfortable. And that's what it's all about. It's about riding it out till the end. And that's not, I hate that I used that phrase, because that's not what it is. It's not riding it out to the end, because it makes it sound horrible, doesn't it? That's not what it is at all. We did it together. We did it together. We're comfortable together. Does it mean the orthopedic shoe stage is without worries? Oh, nope. Still money issues, health issues, all kinds of different issues going there. But we have each other. We have each other. And that's why as we look at this role of the godly wife, some days I feel like I do really good. Other days I'm like, okay, maybe tomorrow. But it's the 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is one of my favorite verses, and then we have to go back in the other room. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. I love that verse, because this outer man is rotten away. It is decayed. But I know that that inner man, because of Jesus, every day is a do-over. Every day is a do-over, and that's what you are blessed with as well. Wrap your hearts around that. Just be Jesus. Just be Jesus, and that's my prayer for you all. We're going to go back in there, we're going to play a game, and then we'll be done for tonight. Thank you, ladies.